We're going to do some prayer requests now. Now that everybody in the room is crying, you've touched our hearts, and I'm sure the people that are listening out there, you've touched their hearts also, because everyone has things in their life, like you're talking about, that's happened with Job, and that looks like, what now? You know, what now?
Yeah.
Just thinking about some of the things you're saying, the trials that you've been through. You know, I shared just a minute with you before we started about when it looked like we were going to change from the Christian music, the rockchristianmusic.com, to something else years ago. And this letter came back to Blake saying, or returned saying that it never got sent, it never couldn't be delivered. And I was just like, praise God, our prayers have worked. And so we got to stay on another maybe 4 or 5 years. And then finally, it was like, we have decided, really, there's no turning back this time. We have decided that we are going to change the format. And so we went on internet, and I wasn't too hot on that at the time. But I called Pastor Dwight and was crying on his shoulder, and he's like, do you think that this is anything that the Lord didn't already know about?
Yeah.
No, not really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from there, we went on the internet, and then a couple of years after that, I moved from the station, quit working for KECO, and we got this place given to us.
Wow.
I came over here to get Donna to pray with me about where can we go, because our sponsorship isn't that great on this program. Since it's internet only, there's people who don't believe in that. Now, they'll get on Facebook and they'll do this and that.
Yeah.
But anyway, and so I knew our sponsorship, it would be hard to pay for a $500 a month building and utilities and all that kind of stuff. And I came just to have Donna pray with us, and she said, follow me, and came down here and opened this door, and she said, you can have this room if it'll work for you.
Wow.
And so God provided this room through Joshua's Crossing. And,
awesome.
You know, it's just, I mean, God is an awesome God.
Yes.
For
yes.
Sure.
Amen.
We do have several prayer requests. I want to give you that little testimony, even though
yes.
most of the rest of our listening world has probably heard it 19 times.
That's awesome. Well, I haven't. So, I mean, I've only been here 2 years. So.
Yeah, right. Sister Judy Gifford, who's she's one of our wonderful ladies that comes on here. On the spur of the moment, lots of times, and once or twice a month, we'll have her on here. And she's been with us since the beginning. Her husband was a pastor at Elk City First Assembly for years. But anyway, she asked us to pray for her cousin Tim, who had an infection around his replaced hip joint. And he's in extreme pain, and he can't stand. And as soon as a bed becomes available in the hospital where he needs to go, they plan to remove that hip joint and not put it back for 6 weeks. So, you know, our prayer is that God will miraculously touch
yes.
that infection, that
yes.
he doesn't have to have that done.
Absolutely.
And then we want to pray for Gail Davis, who had to be in Oklahoma City at the doctor this morning at 7:30. She lives in Cheyenne. I talked to her yesterday evening, and my husband and I were talking about if we had to be there at 7:30, we'd be gone tonight, you know. But
yes.
anyway, she was having some testing concerning the ileostomy that she had some time ago. She's hoping that in the near future they can reverse that surgery. And then we want to pray for these families, the family of Johnny Kincaid and the family of J.L. Chenault, and also the family of Danny Beeson. All three of these men went to their heavenly home on Tuesday. Danny has really been battling. He's had a long battle with illness. And so while his family, of course, misses him, and his heart broken, they're glad he's not suffering anymore.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. So thankful, Lord, that you told us that we could come boldly before your throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Lord, that we can come and ask of you and know that you are a prayer-answering God, that you are faithful and you are true. And, Lord, we pray for Judy Gifford's cousin, Tim, this infection in his hip joint that's been replaced. Lord, we just pray that that infection would be completely gone. Lord, that you would do a miraculous healing, make him a testimony of your healing virtue and power. Lord, that when they go to look at that, God, that there would be no infection, that there would be no need for the surgery, Lord, that he would be completely made whole and entire. Lord, that it could be said that never has it been done in this fashion, Lord, just like it was at times when you would heal. They said it's never been done like this. Lord, I just pray, make him a testimony of your healing power completely and make him whole, Lord, in Jesus' name. Over him, Lord, we plead your blood. And we pray for Gail Davis. Pray that you give her traveling mercies today. Lord, also in this the results and different and some of the testing, Lord, we pray, God, for good reports and that all could be well, Lord, and that you would just bring her through that and that your name would be glorified in all of it, Lord, that you would that God, she would be a testimony, Lord, of your faithfulness and of your power, Lord. And we pray, God, for these families, Lord, that have lost their loved ones, Lord. And God, we pray, number one, God, for their comfort and for their peace. Lord, we pray, God, that you give them your grace and your help. Lord, and God, that, you know, sometimes we don't understand and we don't always have the answers. And I pray, God, that you would send them somebody with the comforting words that they could hear. And God, maybe somebody that doesn't have the words, but Lord, somebody that could just be the shoulder for them to cry on, Lord. And God, that most importantly, that you understand our grief. Lord, we think sometimes that you don't know what it's like, but God, you were in all points tempted such as we are, Lord, and are able to succor or keep those, Lord. You have been touched in every feeling of our infirmities and everything that we've gone through. You have gone through. You know what it is to lose a loved one. You wept, Lord, over Lazarus, Lord. You, God, you, I mean, we know that you witnessed the death of Jesus on the cross, Lord. There's, we know that you have felt the pain and the heartache, but also, Lord God, that in all of that, you're able to give the comfort that only you can give. And I pray that you comfort the Kincaid family, the Chenault family, and the Beeson family, Lord, today. Be with them and give them your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have one other prayer request. It's for a good friend of ours, Wes Hadaway. Many of the people out here know him as Wes St. John, the Oilfield Cowboy. He used to come out and stay out here and wrote a lot of songs from our part of the country. I talked to his wife a couple of days ago, and he has been in the hospital for over a week, and he just had he had some sort of something. They hadn't gotten all the tests back. They checked several things and couldn't find anything, but when she went to speak to him, after she'd gone to the grocery store or something, she said, he gave me some crazy answer that was like in Chinese. And I said, what? And he repeated it again, and she could tell he was not there. She took him to the ER, and they put him in the hospital, ran a bunch of tests. But he's just been weak and can hardly walk, and they were waiting to get some of the other blood tests back. But this is a couple that is precious and love the Lord, and so we want to pray for Wes Hadaway is his actual name, even though we all call him Wes St. John.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we bring Wes Hadaway before you today, Lord. We thank you for his faithfulness to you, Lord, his friendship to those here. Lord, we pray, God, for healing in his body. Lord, we pray, God, for wisdom for the doctors and the nurses that are taking care of him and trying to meet this physical need. Lord, and they don't have all the answers yet. I just pray that you would help them to find those answers, Lord. I pray, God, that you give them wisdom. We pray for healing in his body, Lord, and God, that he be made whole and entire. We pray for his wife, that you give her strength emotionally and physically and spiritually and mentally during this time. We know that it can be a stressor on the spouse when one spouse is sick, Lord, and I just pray for her strength as well. And we just pray that your name would be glorified in all of this, God, that your will would be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you share information about your church services,
absolutely.
Location?
Yes. So we are at 111 South 2nd Street there in Cheyenne, Oklahoma, right on the corner of 2nd. And if you hadn't asked me, I would be able to remember right now. The other intersection, but I can tell you real easy how to find us We're right just south of Martin's Trading Post.
Exactly.
So if you know where Martin's Trading Post is off of Main Street in Cheyenne, we're just we're south right there, the white church with brown trim. Our banners sadly got destroyed, so we're getting some new signage made and different things in the process of that. But we have a Sunday morning service. Sunday school starts at 10, and then we have a regular service at 11. And then currently we have our Wednesday night Bible study / prayer meeting. We alternate that. And Lord willing, in the future, we'll have some other ministries coming up as we are able to. So, but that's where we are. And
what time does Sunday school start, did you say?
10 o'clock.
And church
at 11 is okay. Our regular service, yes, ma'am. And okay. Then Bible study at 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights.
Okay.
Prayer meeting, Bible study on Wednesday nights.
Okay.
I wanted to remind our listeners, too, about a camp meeting that's going on. It's a tent revival, and it's in Mangum, and it goes through tomorrow evening, and I'm so ashamed. I told Pastor Gary Usher I would announce this week on the Hour of Power, and until I got the paper yesterday, I forgot about it.
Okay.
So it starts at, each evening at 8 o'clock, and it's at 4:30 East Pierce in Mangum. They'll have special singing and ministry of the word. It's non-denominational, and everyone's invited. If you need more information, you can call 580-682-0970. Pastor Gary and his congregation, they do a great thing. I don't know if you get the Elk City or the Beckham County Record, Timothy, but this about once a month or maybe once every 2 months, they put about a 6 or 8 page insert in that's got things about their prison ministry and stuff like that. So very active church. So if you are in that area or can go down there, make your way down there tonight and tomorrow night are the last two nights of that tent revival. Now, Monica, you finally get to say something.
It's my turn now. Yay, I get a turn. Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. They are one of our sponsors. And Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And the Refuge Church, located at 18410 Highway 152 in Sayre. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off. And Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott will bless you as well. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Come on. Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another, and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired, and the mind drifts into the what-ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake. Focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
At Bordice and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive. And we're giving thanks to every one of our customers for allowing us to be your Ford dealer for the past 27 years. As the weather is changing, we encourage you to visit our service department if your brakes are squeaking, your heater is struggling, or your vehicle isn't running at top performance. And shop our new and pre-owned inventory with vehicles arriving daily. Experience the Barber Dyson difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at BarberDysonFord.net.
You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. Our guest, I think he's going to be one of my new favorites. They're all my favorites, but, you know, the Lord uses them all. Pastor Timothy Patterson. His title for today is A Lesson from a Horse and a Vulture. Back to you, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, we We talked earlier about the horse and the vulture, and I want to just kind of wrap this up in going back to the vulture. And let me just preface this by saying I'm not saying Jesus is a vulture. The vulture is not a type of Jesus. Is not, but the Bible taught. You know, we talked earlier about the vulture being an ugly bird, something that we just don't really think much about it. And Isaiah said he has. You know, he's not. You know, in Isaiah 53, he talked about Jesus, prophesied of him, and said he's not much to look at. He's not. He's not Chris Hemsworth. He's not. You know, I shouldn't know that, but. You know, he's not, or for you country folks, he's not George Strait back in his heyday. You know, I mean, he's just, he kind of probably not a wimp like Pee Wee Herman, but he might've looked a lot like Pee Wee Herman. I don't know. Just without that kind of suit, but he just wasn't much to look at. But, we mentioned that vultures have such a capacity to be able to partake of carcasses and things that have been dead for a long time, and it has no ill effects on them. I mean, if we tried to eat roadkill, it probably would kill us, you know. And then, but they have such an acidic stomach that they can deal with these things that would be carrying disease and different things at this point. And I would be remiss of my duties as a pastor to not point to Jesus in my preaching. And only Jesus can deal with that sin in our lives. Only Jesus could deal with something so dead and something so contagious and something so evil and sickening as sin, and then not be able to kill him. And I love what Paul said in Romans 7 and in verse number 24. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he was literally saying this body of death. And in this time frame and in this era of which Paul was writing, he was referring to when somebody was convicted of murder, the punishment that they would enact upon them oftentimes was they would take the victim of the murderer, and they would chain the murderer to the victim, and put them in close proximity to each other, where skin was touching skin, to the point that eventually the decay of that dead body would begin to transfer over to the body of the murderer, and would begin to literally kill this murderer from the outside inward. And Paul was saying, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And he was talking about sin, and this is what sin is doing to me. It is killing me. And I'm carrying around this dead body, literally. I'm walking around with a dead body attached to me. Nobody wants to be around me because, obviously, I'm nasty. I got something nobody wants to touch. But then look at verse number 25. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, a law of sin." He said, "Who will deliver me? Who can take care of this body, a sinful death?" Nobody else wanted to touch him. You got your own problems, man. I help those that can help themselves. How many times have we heard that, right? I'm glad Jesus didn't take that mindset with me, because I couldn't help myself. You know, I was stuck. I was in a place. I was covered. I was carrying around a dead body. I was handcuffed. I had no ability. At this point, I was probably, you know, eventually you become so decrepit and sick from this, from what you're carrying. You're racked with disease from what you're carrying around. And he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ." Only Christ could deal with that sin and it not make him sick and it not make him sinful. I love what Paul said. He said, "Here I am walking around with this dead body, and who's going to deliver me?" And Jesus comes in and takes this body of sinful death, takes it off and says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new." What a privilege it is that, you know, when we look at, we talked about a lesson from a horse and a vulture, and we talked about that vulture taking the dead things of out of our lives, you know, and we think, man, it doesn't look pretty. The cross is not pretty. The cross is a gruesome, it was the most gruesome way for somebody to die. It's a bloody, bloody, horrible event, and Christ went through it even more so than others. You know, he was whipped beyond recognition to the point that you could see his inner organs. It was not a pretty sight of what redemption cost. But in all of that, this thing that looks so ugly brought about the most beautiful thing and brought about the redemption of man's soul. A man who was covered and dead in his trespasses and sin, carrying around a body of sin and death and disease, and comes in and takes that off and makes him a new man in Christ. And when we look at that value of what Jesus can do with bitter dead with dead things, and we think and we look back and say, and we look at our lives and we realize, God, there's some bitterness there that I didn't even know I was carrying around. And he comes in and he takes that out and healing takes place. What we didn't realize was a festering wound now becomes a healed scar, mm-hmm. and a testimony that healing took place. And I'll say this in closing about God, the value of that vulture taking something dead. You know, I don't know what it is about us and our human nature that will hold on to something. It's roadkill and it's dead and it's nasty, but it's mine. And we hold on to it for dear life and say, don't take it, you know. But sometimes when he comes in to take some things, it's things that we don't even realize are there. You know, my mother's diabetic, and so I have a little bit of experience with, we're very careful about certain things. You know, if she hurts her foot, we make sure we monitor that. Because, you know, a diabetic, sometimes when they get that neuropathy, they get a wound and they don't feel it and they don't even know there's something going on there. And about 6 years ago, my son was about a year old, my oldest, and wasn't quite even that, so maybe 5 years ago. I went down to Louisiana to a meeting, and the preacher preached on strongholds. And I was down praying, and the Lord dealt with me and said, I want you to thank me for your grandmother. Now, a little history on that. My mom's mother, who thankfully has made things right with God and I love her dearly, and God brought healing, but several years ago had gotten away from the Lord and started drinking and really... And just wrote my brother and myself and my mom off and said she didn't want anything to do with us. I was probably 10 years old. And maybe 8 years old. So here we are 18 years later. I thought I was over, you know, I just went on with life. You know, I didn't feel like I was bitter. You know, it was just kind of a void in my life. You know, I didn't have a relationship with her, see her occasionally, hey, you know, whatever. But there wasn't a relationship. But God dealt me and said, thank me for your grandmother. And I knew he wasn't talking about my dad's mom because I was very close with her. And she had passed away. And I said, okay. So I began to thank God for my grandmother. And at that point, there was bitterness that I didn't even know existed that God pulled out of there and healed it. Before that, if I was in a service with my grandmother and she would get happy, because we're Pentecostal, and she'd get happy in the Lord and get to rejoicing, not even realizing it, my thought was, you hypocrite. You sorry hypocrite. I know the way you talk to my mom. I know the way you hypocrite. That's how my... But then after that took place, I was in a service with her and she got happy. And I got happy with her. God took something out of my life and put something better. The healing that I, you know, sometimes there's wounds, there's dead things in our life that we don't even realize. But when God takes that out and heals it, we find, man, there is life after this. There's something better than this. And to think that I had that in my life for so long, didn't even realize it. You know, it happened when I was young. And sometimes we think avoiding something means healing's taking place. And that's not true. Just avoiding and thinking something didn't happen or denying something happened doesn't bring healing. The wound's still there, and it's chained up, and we keep putting Band-Aids over it. And what we need is somebody to come in and take this dead thing out so healing can finally take place. And so sometimes, if I could say it like this, you might just have to find yourself some point in life just opening up with God and saying, I've got a lot of wounds, and I don't know how to let them heal. I've got hurts that nobody knows about, and I really don't want anybody to know about, and nobody has to know about it. Isn't that the joy of it? He didn't come to humiliate us, and he didn't come to embarrass you. He came that, he said, those that are whole don't need a physician, but I've come, those that are sick. And if we would just acknowledge, I need help.
Come on.
I need some healing. And sometimes that may take professionalism. That may take professional help. But sometimes it's just coming open and clean with God and say, God, if I could just be plain and clear and open, I've got issues that I really don't want anybody else to know about. I've got some dead things that I've been holding on to. But if you'll just come right on in and take them out, I'll be okay with that. If you'll take the dead things out, I'll go ahead and be like the horse and I'll stay in the round pen and be faithful. But just get these dead things out so I can be who you've called me to be. I don't want to live a life that is full of dead things, because we know that that carries around. You know, hurting people hurt people. If that's you, it's because there's some dead things going on in life that need healing. And I would that you would let Jesus just come in and take those out. And sometimes the way he takes those things out is not pleasant. Sometimes when there's a need, when there's cancer or different things, and it has to be removed, it's not pleasant and it's painful, but it's necessary for you to survive. And this morning, we have the Word of God. We know it's as sharp as, you know, two-edged sword and dividing asunder the sword. But it's not with the intent of killing you. The Word of God is not for your death. It's as the surgeon's scalpel intended to come in and cut precisely and to get to the heart of the matter of what is making you sick and what is causing you pain and heartache and what is destroying your life, what is hurting your marriage, what is keeping you in bondage, and bringing that to the surface and getting it out of your life so you can be made whole. Let the vulture, if I could say it like that, I know it sounds counterintuitive to think liken Jesus and a vulture to the same, and that's counterintuitive to my mind too, but I can't think of a better way to say it than to let the only one who can deal with this and it not affect him. Mm-hmm. He can deal with your bitterness and he'll never get bitter. He can deal with the pain of abuse and never, ever be subjected to the post-traumatic stress disorder you're having to deal with. Mm-hmm. Because he is able to deal with our sins and it never affect him. He's able to deal with our trauma and it never affect him and affect who he is. But he can affect who you are if you let him deal with what you're going through. Amen. And that's kind of my closing thought here. I went a minute over, 2 minutes.
That's okay. We're not bound by time here. So during your message, I just want to share a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
It really spoke to me this morning, sir.
Praise God.
In the round pen of life for me, I've been hurt. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until about 4 or 5 years ago that I really realized that the Lord showed me mm-hmm. the depth mm-hmm. of the hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The hurts in my life, I didn't know how to deal with them. Mm-hmm.
and I was too afraid to speak up.
Right.
Therefore, I became very angry. Mm-hmm. And the anger became hate.
Yeah.
And then that hate, I became a very bitter person. I was going to cut you before you cut me, brother.
Right. Yeah, I hear
you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was my mindset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had a twisted view of people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so Monica would do something to make it feel better for a moment.
Yes.
And then I would sweep it, and you know, it's like it's under the rug for a little bit.
Yes.
And then the more I walk, that vibration of the steps, it would come back out from under the carpet, that rug.
Yeah.
And then there'd be a little bit more there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I would do something to numb that.
Right, yeah.
And I would just sweep it back under there because Monica didn't know how to deal with it.
Right. Yeah.
Monica didn't know how to heal it.
Right.
And it wasn't until when my husband passed away in 2013 that I really, and then my daughter passed away 14 months later on New Year's Eve. And I became super angry. Mm-hmm. I mean, super angry at God.
Yeah.
And I blamed God. I was so mad.
Yeah.
How could you do this? Mm-hmm. Why did you do this?
Yeah.
That was my husband. Mm-hmm. That was my baby. Yeah. Why did you take them from me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my daughter-in-law, she broke through. The Lord used her words to break through my heart of stone because it had became cold and hard.
Yeah.
She said, I don't know what God you worship, but my God is a giver of life, not a taker.
Right. Yeah.
And that those words just went to my heart. And I began to pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my heart began to soften.
Right, yes. Yeah.
And being a widow, the Lord told me, he said, I am your husband now.
Yeah.
I am.
Right, yeah.
I am.
Yes, yes, amen.
Thank me for the time. And so I began to thank God for the time that I had with my dear husband.
Right. Yeah.
And I began to thank God for the time, for the 21 years that I had my daughter.
Yeah.
And I began to thank God for the blessing of being his wife.
Right.
And the blessing and the gift of being her mother.
Yes.
Yeah. And then God told me, put me in that spot that you had for your husband.
Right.
Put me in that spot that you had for your daughter.
Yeah.
The conversations that you had with your husband, begin to have them with me.
Yeah.
Because I am.
Right. Yeah.
And the conversations that you would have with your daughter, begin to have them with me.
Yeah.
Because I am. And I began to do that.
Yes. Amen.
And the Lord began to work on my heart, making it softer. And then I was blessed. Mm-hmm. He told me, he said, I want you to come home. Mm-hmm. Come home.
Yeah.
So I began to go back to church.
Yeah. Praise God. Yeah.
And when I walked in that church, after turning my back and swearing never again.
Yeah.
When I walked in that church. And I began to walk up the steps to the sanctuary. And I heard him say, welcome home, child.
Yeah.
Welcome home. Yeah. Now we can do something.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then a lady from church, Marissa, invited me to the Hour of Power. Because I was one of those that was so hurt I'd just soon kill you than look at you and talk to you. Right. I'm just being real. Yeah. I'm being very raw.
Yeah.
That was my attitude.
Right.
Yeah. And as I started to come, I could feel the layers being peeled away.
Praise God. Yeah.
And it, with every layer being peeled away, there was life being brought back to me. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, I was spending time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I said, Lord, why do you have me in the position you have me in? Why? Mm-hmm. Jude. Jude.
Yeah.
Verse 20. But you, dear friends, mm-hmm. by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying mm-hmm. in the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. keep yourselves in God's love. As you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life.
Yes.
Be merciful.
Yes.
Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire.
Yes.
To others, show mercy mixed with fear. Hating even the clothing stained by corrupted faith, by corrupted flesh, by corrupted flesh.
Yes. Amen.
The Lord put me where I'm at today mm-hmm. because he snatched me.
Right. Yeah.
And now he can use me
right.
to snatch others.
Yes. Amen.
Right before they go into the pit of hell.
Right. Yes.
Because I assure you, mm-hmm. that's where I was going.
Right.
I was on a one-way trip.
Right.
But God.
Yes. My God.
Snatched me.
Yes. Amen.
And now.
Yes.
As I grow
yes.
in Christ.
Amen.
I will serve my Lord.
Right. Yes.
And help snatch others from the pit of hell.
Amen. Amen. So true. Amen.
You have been tuned in. Would you pray to end this out?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this privilege, Lord. We thank you for the Spirit of God that we feel here in this room, Lord, and for the truth, God, that you are our Redeemer. You know, I keep hearing that song that says, I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. And, Lord, I just thank you, God, for your redemption. Thank you, Lord God, that you're challenging us to remain faithful, to remain true, Lord. And, God, that you would help us, Lord, to let go of the dead things in life. Quit guarding them like they're some precious treasure and just let you have them so that that healing can take place. We thank you, Lord, for Sister Monica, Lord, her testimony, Lord, that she shared here, Lord, today, Lord, that God, that as that I Am Redeemed song says, one of the verses says, where there was hate, love now abides. And where there was confusion, peace now reigns. Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you, God, that, Lord, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. Be with each one today. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, y'all, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Neva Pyatt, and from our pastor and brother in Christ, Tim Patterson. Y'all have a blessed day and stay tuned following the program for a word from Pastor Dwight.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music. and take us with you everywhere.